It makes some preachers feel bad that when they started preaching, half the congregation got up and left. But I'm gonna struggle through this, and God's going to do a great work. The world is smaller than we realize it is. I was a little bit surprised when y'all mentioned about little Georgia Kate Anderson. Georgia Kate Anderson's daddy is named Reed. Reed played ball with my boys, grew up with him in high school. Reed's a little bit younger than my boys. Actually, his older brother played with him all the time. His granddaddy would be named Tommy Anderson. Me and Tommy Anderson were good friends, graduated from high school together. So I know that story, and I know the challenges that family has faced to get to the point that we are. And folks, it's a long ways to go yet, a long, long ways. I don't want to discourage you. When they say she's walking, she's not really walking. She's walking because they're supporting her in such a way. But to think of where she was, say, a week or two ago, and to think of where she is today, she has truly made a lot of progress. In fact, there were some thoughts about giving up or doing other things along the way. And I say that to help and hope that that encourages you to think a little bit. It is important as we come together that our hearts and our minds are open and receptive to who God is and what God is. I know sometimes with music, and this isn't just here, it's everywhere you go, everything don't always line up just like you planned for it to line up. But that's not always a bad thing. Because sometimes when stuff like that happens, it causes you to think a little bit, to recognize and realize what's going on. I was in a church in Atlanta a few years ago in revival, and they were singing through the songbook. What they were doing was like they sang page 1, 2, 3, next week 4, 5, 6, next week 7, 8, 9, and they were singing through the songbook. And I thought that was kind of unique or whatever, and I asked the minister of music, we were visiting one night before the service, and I said, what possessed you to do that? He said, the problem is sometimes we sing songs so many times till they just come out of our mouth, but they don't come out of our heart. And if you sing a song you've never sang before, you have to focus on those words. You have to focus on those thoughts as far as what it's saying and the direction it's trying to take you in. This morning is in my family a little unique. My youngest son is preaching homecoming at Jackson Baptist Church. Jackson Baptist Church was the first church that I ever pastored. I was there for 12 years, been gone for 12 years. And so Todd has called me several times this week, you know, to ask me if his remembrance was right. I remember this. He would say, is that how you remember it happening? And so it's been kind of unique in that regard. But I will tell you this, there's a lot of things that happened in that church. One thing, we had 26 members when I went there. When I left, we had an order from the fire marshal. We either had to get a bigger sanctuary, or we had to have two services. We had to do a lot of things. We put a chair at the end of every pew on both sides. And that's how many people there was running. In spite of having a bad pastor, they grew. But one of the things I remembered about homecoming was the food. If y'all have ever been a part of a homecoming, no matter where it is, it's good food. You know, I bet y'all got some really good cooks here and all that. But I always think about it kind of like this. You go there and you eat cake. And if you're a man, what you think about is, boy, that sure is some good cake. But if you're a woman who cooks, what you're thinking about is, how did they make that cake? What are the ingredients, and how long did you bake it, you know, and at what temperature did you bake it, and all that sort of stuff. And so I'm sharing this with you because I want you to think with me this morning as we look at our scripture in Proverbs chapter 16. And I don't want you just to listen to me, but I want you, number one, to listen to God. But I also want you to leave here today when you go home, and I want you to think about some of this stuff. I was at the same area, same church, in fact, in Atlanta. And one day for the lunch service, I went to Georgia Tech, and I spoke to a bunch of folks from Georgia Tech. Now, you know, country people like me, being at Georgia Tech was another world. But when I got through, we did what we did, and Thursday night following that revival, a young man called me. And he said, we're in here having a Bible study. And I said, okay. And he says, and we're discussing your sermon. And I said, how about that? And he said, here's the way we remember it. Well, I was just flattered, to be honest with you, that I had said something that stayed with them for a whole week, so to speak, you know, where they began to think about it. And so all the things that we do here this morning are not just designed for what we do here this morning, but it's to plant seed, it's to have you consider things, it's to have you think about things as you move into next week. We live in a challenging time. Never before in my lifetime or any of y'all's lifetime have we lived in a time that's as unsettled and uncertain as it is right now. I didn't read much of the news this morning, but one of the things that I was troubled by was our former vice president, Mr. Pence, was somewhere, and a group of folks come there and said, kill him, hang him, and all that sort of stuff. Let me tell you what, folks, whether you agree with him or not, that's messed up. That is a godly man. That was the only godly man of that pair, but that is a godly man. And no matter how bad somebody does you or how much you disagree with him, you should never come to the point that you think you ought to kill him. That's just out of the question for us as far as who Christians are, as far as how we respond to things. I want you to change your thought process just a little bit as we look at the scripture this morning. It's sort of like prayer. And maybe I'm wrong, but I bet you I'm not. Most of us, when we pray, what that really is, that's about 2 or 3 minutes, first thing in the morning, telling God what you want Him to do for you today. Now, if we're really logical and we think about that, if God is God and we are we need to shut up and let God tell us what He wants us to do today. But when I tell people stop and listen and hear God and respond to God, everybody looks at me sometimes like that's, you know, a calf looking at a new gate. I never thought of that concept. Man, that's strange stuff, you know. God's going to speak to me. My granddaddy told me early in life, when you were in conversation, let whoever knew the most talk the most. So if prayer is conversation with God, okay, who you think knows the most? God, every time. In Proverbs, there's some things I think that's interesting, the way that it spells it out, the way it lays it out. I'm going to begin in verse 2 of chapter 16. And it says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. You know, nobody can fool me like me. How many of y'all agree with that? I can talk me into anything. I can talk me out of anything. You may tell you why you came to church this morning, because you talked yourself into it. You may tell you why a lot of people aren't in church this morning, because they talked themselves out of it. And so when you really begin to think about it in terms of deception, we are the most deceitful person to our own selves. We lead ourselves in a direction. If you listen to some of the songs that we sang this morning, a lot of them was about honesty, about truth before God, about letting Him express Himself to us and us responding to Him. It says, but the Lord weighs the spirit. In other words, God knows, all right? Now, we're all kind of trying to figure out, you know, because we got several pending court cases, you know, against a former president. And there's folks want to know, is it true? Is it false? Is it right? Is it wrong? Truth will come out. Now, there'll be a lot of folks that will spend a lot of money trying to cover it up, trying to get by, trying to get through, trying to do all this sort of stuff. But let me tell you what, God knows. Let me tell you what God knows about you. Everything. So why would you try to fool somebody like that? My mama, and I bet you there's a lot of mamas in this church like this, mama could say something like this, what did you do? And you'd be thinking, well, ain't no way she knows what I did. It ain't no way in the world. It is absolutely positively impossible that she would know what I did. But you'd fess up anyway, because mama knows, you understand? You got that. Well, that's what it's talking about. He weighs the spirit. It goes on in that next verse, and it says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Why do you do what you do? Now, I want you to think about that just a little bit. Why do you do what you do? Now, I do a lot of what I do because I have to. Because we like to eat, because we want to keep our house, because I want to get my truck paid for. So I get up and I go to work. That's why I do a lot of what I do. But when you go beyond that and you start talking about in your spiritual life, what motivates you? Let me tell you what has happened because of a little Georgia Kate Anderson. There's a lukewarm church that's now excited about who God is. It's the hardships, it's the challenges, it's the struggles, it's those things that come to that place that bring us more to Him. I won't never forget this. This happened several years ago. A group of us was at a fellow's house there that farms in our community, and of course most all of us are somehow involved in agriculture. And it was really, really, really dry. I mean, we was in the middle of a really bad drought. And fella drove up, you know, and he made a comment. He said, well, the problem is y'all ain't paying the preacher enough. Y'all have all heard that, you know. When it don't rain, it's because you ain't paying the preacher enough. Well, there was one fella in the group there, and he was just waiting on instructions. Ricky Grant, a young black boy. And Ricky just shook his head and said, Well, he caught my attention. I said, Ricky, what's the matter with you? He said, y'all all messed up. I said, what we messed up about? He said, talking about if you paid the preacher, that I would help you know, the drought and all. And I said, you don't think so? He said, tell me this. He said, what's going to bring us through this drought? And one fella said, we need to pray. Ricky said, well, tell me this. He said, if y'all cut that preacher's check completely off, or if you double it, which one's going to make him pray the hardest? If they cut my salary off, I'm going to pray hard. You know, understand what I'm saying? So the hardships, the struggles, the trials that come in our life, a lot of times is what motivates us to do what God wants us to do. And that's what it's talking about. And your thoughts will be established. You know what I want to think like? I want to think like God. You know how I want to respond to things? The way God would have me to respond to things. So I have to commit my thoughts and my ways in that direction. It says in verse 4, but the Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Now, you know, God confirms to me as we go through life and all, and one day way, way back yonder, I was hunting fox at that time. All I hunt now is hogs. But anyway, we'd kill two or three rattlesnakes. And I spoke up, you know, and told a fella, I said, I don't know why in the world God made a rattlesnake. And the fella said, well, sure you do. I said, no, I don't know what good could come out of a rattlesnake. He said, if it wasn't for the rattlesnakes being in the woods, said you'd hunt year round. He said, but you get scared of the snakes and that gives the little fox a chance to raise. I hadn't thought about it quite like that. But you think about this. God does certain things, and I think America's set right now today to watch how God brings things together, watch how God resolves circumstances, situations, and all that kind of stuff. And when he does, you know, we're going to come back. I have had more than a few, but I've had several people that came to know the Lord through hardship. I had a funeral for a man several years ago. When I moved in Scriven County, he was considered the worst one we had. You talking about, man, don't leave nothing laying around. He'll steal the shortening out of a biscuit. Y'all know folks like that. He'll lie to you, he'll cheat, he'll steal, he'll do this, he'll do that. Just avoid that man. Well, that man got his arm caught in a corn auger. Snatched his arm off right up to about right in here. Should have died, but didn't. But to make a long story short, through that process, he come to know the Lord. Through that process, he was converted. And he would tell you right up to the end, you know, and he actually died of cancer later on, and he would say this, he said, I am so thankful that God took my arm off. And you think, well, man, lose your arm and are thankful. You know why he was thankful? Because that's what brought him to a relationship with Christ. Folks, this body's going to wear out. This life is going to end. And what happens then? What happens with me? We lost a person, David Botiford. Some of y'all know David in fertilizer business for years. David passed away Saturday morning. Had been fighting cancer for a long, long time. But I know David, and we had a good relationship, and we talked about the Lord. The day David's heart quit beating was the best day of his life because he went to be with Jesus. Make a long story real short, that particular fellow I was talking about that lost his arm and this and that and the other, when he passed away, right before he passed away, he sent out invitations to his funeral. He had 52 honorary pallbearers. And if you'd have been there, them 52, you'd have thought, my word, them fellows ain't never been to church and this and that and other. He always told me this the last several weeks before he passed away. He said, there's no reason for anybody to go to hell if me or you can do something about it. He said, I'm going to get them there and you do what needs to be done. Well, what I want you to think about is God lays His Word out before us there, is sometimes these challenges in our life, sometimes these struggles in our life are just fitting us, is just developing us, is just making us, is just bringing us to where you are. You know, when you've been sick, like this dear lady here has been sick, and you get over it, you appreciate health more now than you ever did. And so that's who God is, and that's how God's operating in our lives. I'm going to skip some verses here, and I'm going to move over there to verse 18, because there's some things in verse 18 that I really want you to think about, and then I'm going to give you your homework, and then we're going to go home. How's that sound? Verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, I am convinced that arrogance and ignorance are brothers. You find me somebody that's just extremely arrogant, and I'll show you somebody that's extremely ignorant. And you'd think, well, wait a minute, you know, he's this or he's that or she's this or she's that. I guarantee you, arrogance will get you every time. You know why I say that? Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, you know, folks, we are to be humble, because if we think about who God is and we compare ourselves to God, we ain't hitting on much. Have y'all thought about that? You know what we like to do in America? We like to find somebody that we think is worse than us and compare ourselves to him. Man, I'm bad. I ain't bad as he is. I might be terrible, but you ought to think about what she has done. If you want to get right, live right, and be what God wants you to be, here's what you do. You compare yourself every morning to Jesus Christ. If that don't humble you, it's because you don't know him. The beginning of wisdom is a humble spirit. So it talks about there, and it tells us some of the things that we need to hold on to as far as what's going to happen. It says the haughty will fall. It says in verse 19, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. We have got to the point whoever gets to divide the spoil, we think is the winner. Whoever comes out on top, I don't watch much soccer. I don't understand soccer. It's a wonderful sport. It is what it is. The United States women's national soccer team was supposed to win again this year by a landslide. I mean, like there wasn't no tomorrow. Some of y'all already know what I'm saying. They lost yesterday and they're out. Now that's bad. I don't like that the United States isn't in it, but I think it's God. Because I think what God is saying, wait just a minute, I'm in control and not you. I'm in control, I'm in charge, and it's going to be the way I think it ought to be. Where is the lesson? Where is the opportunity? Well, number one, if you were Sweden, it's an opportunity to get excited. Number two, if you live in this country, you ought to realize, wait a minute, nobody's invincible. Nobody is unbeatable. The only people that are going to win in this world, that are going to win in this race, are the children of God. And if you're a child of God, there's stipulations, there's directions. That's what it spells out here in this scripture, is how we're to live, how we're to act, how we're to respond. It says in verse 20, he who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Well, I want you to think about this. One reason that a lot of people don't heed God's word is because they don't know God's word. I'm just like every man in this group. You read the directions as a last resort. You do everything you can. You fight it to the bitter end. My hay mower tore up, and I don't know why. It's only 10 years old. It ought to have at least 10 more good years in it. That's what I think. But we kind of put it back together, and we messed with it, and every time I would turn it on, it kept making a little odd noise, especially when you went around a curve, it was making an odd noise. And I just couldn't get it in my mind. You know, it had to be the gearbox, it had to be the drive shaft, it had to be this, it had to be that, and what have you. My little grandson, who's 9 years old, was out there with me, and I turned it on and turned it back off, and he said, Daddy Pete, you know what's wrong with it? And I said, no, and you don't either. He said, well, it might not be. He said, but this thing right here is loose, and it was that little cone on the very end right there, and when it would get to going, it was rattling and bumping that thing. We tightened that bad boy up, it ran like a sewing machine. You know what it did, though? It humbled me. You got to think. You got to reason. You got to know. He loves you, but he knows. And what the scripture says, what this last verse that we're trying to talk about, is simply certain things have got to be done. Number one, know what God's word says. Number two, be willing to adhere to it. And number three, is the only people that are happy in this world are those who do that. You ever been around rich people? I mean really, really rich people. Had piles of money. Piles and piles and piles of money. And they're the most miserable people you knew. I don't know how you do things the way you do them. And God does things. But since the Braves played yesterday afternoon, we was able to watch something else. And it just happened, this movie came on. And if I could tell you the name of the movie, some of y'all might have saw it. But Robin Williams was one of the stars, and Jeff Daniels was the other star. And they, one family was just filthy rich, and the other family just kind of lived off the land, so to speak. And so throughout the movie, their paths would cross, you know, and back and to, and back and to. And of course, this rich family, they was just always trying to get more money, you know, keep their job, get this. And these other folks was just enjoying life. And right there at the end of the movie, the wife that belonged to the rich guy finally said, you know, he says, I'll get you anything you want. What do you want? What can I do? She says, I just want to be happy like she is. He says, but she ain't got nothing. But she's happy. If we're right with God, if He's our Lord, if He's our Savior, if we've given over to Him, we're the happiest people in the world. Not because it's perfect, not because we don't have challenges, not because we don't have heartaches, not because we don't have illnesses, not because of any of those things, but because we know He loves us, and we know no matter what circumstance we face, He's going to bring us through it better off. And that's what we need to be. And that's why we worship Him. And that's why we praise Him. And that's why we can go forward. And I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know who does. And I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know it's how it's going to work out for those who love Him. It's going to work out great. And Lord, I thank You that You love us the way You love us, that You care for us the way that You care for us, that You gave us Your Word, Lord, to guide us through every circumstance and every situation. Lord, I pray for our nation. I pray in this nation, Lord, that we wake up and we come back to the fact that our only hope is You. That it don't matter who's president, who's vice president, it don't matter who did what to whom. Lord, if we'll just turn back to You, and if we'll seek You, and if we'll follow You, and if we'll serve You, Lord, we're going to be all right. And Lord, wake us up to the fact that if we don't, Lord, we are condemned. Lord, thank You for what You do in this place, in this church. I thank You for these people. I pray, Lord, especially even now, that You just strengthen them, that You uplift them and direct them. Lord, help them to see the path that You'd have them to go down, Lord, and to go down it with a great courage. Lord, for the community surrounding about them. Lord, we're surrounded by lost people. And You put us here, Lord, and You saved us so that we could help You save others. So You move, You stir, You do what You do, Lord, and we're just going to thank You and we're just going to praise You, even now. Amen.